the following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
So, I've entitled the message today, Why Choose Life? And isn't that beautiful, little baby? That could almost pass for my grandbaby. She's so beautiful. But it's not her, okay? It's just somebody that I got off the internet. Bless her pea-picking heart or wherever she is. And for our text today, we'll be in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13, the New International Version. And it says very succinctly, you shall not murder. If you have any trouble, Miss Bobby, hallelujah, so good to see Miss Bobby here. Yay, sneaking in. So good to see you, Miss Bobby. I'm so glad you're here. Oh man, you are a sight for sore eyes. I'm telling you, she's determined. This little gal is determined. She's a little pop tart. She wants to pop up and go. Right? So good to have you here, Miss Bobby. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, first of all, I want to rejoice and thank you for Miss Bobby being here. Lord, you were with the doctors and the nurses and the skilled technicians, Lord, and. Father, you were even with poor Miss Bobby when she fell, when she wasn't supposed to. And Lord, her recovery's been longer than she wanted. But Lord, we rejoice that she is recovering and getting stronger day by day, Lord. It just lifts our hearts to see her here this morning. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for George being sent to us. What a glorious gift that he would come and be a part of our fellowship. And Lord, I know that you're leading him and guiding him, and we thank you for him. And Lord, as we study your word this morning, I pray for a divine revelation. Lord, allow me to speak the truth about this very, very important subject in such a way that it'll impact our lives and help change our world. Father, we thank you for your word. It is always meat and drink for us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, Amen. Back in the garden, sin entered into the world, and death came along with it. They are the maternal twins, birthed in the heart of Satan himself, and were born in the garden through Adam and Eve. And they are here. Day by day, we see the handiwork that took place way back when in the garden. Which started as simple disobedience. I mean, it wasn't such a big deal to us. Don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know the story and what followed. Immediately behind the eating of what they shouldn't have eaten, we see lies, accusations, innuendos, hiding, attempts to cover up. I mean, and if that wasn't enough, in the very next chapter, we see the first physical murder that took place with Cain and Abel. The murder that began with Cain and Abel has gone through the decades all the way to the streets of New Orleans this very day. We are enamored with murder and killing of every kind. Think about how many movies you've seen or how many TV programs you've seen that the topic is someone murdering someone else. Very graphically, we see it. So much so that people become desensitized to it. In fact, there was one young man who murdered some schoolmates, and when he was questioned about it later, he thought they would just get up and walk away like the movies. Desensitized to the reality of what was taking place. The most heinous form of murder, in my opinion, and I stand with a great company when I say this, is the abortion chambers. The murder that takes place of the innocent. On September the 11th, 2001, 3,500 innocent people died in America. And we all have vivid pictures of that in our minds, in our hearts. On September the 12th, 4,000 innocent people died in America. You don't hear about them. You don't even know their names. They died in the abortion chambers. On September the 13th, 4,000 died in the abortion chambers. And every day since September the 11th and prior to that day, 4,000 babies died in the abortion chambers to the tune of 1.5 million per year. Brings us to the subject of today. Why we must choose life and do everything we can to stop the murder in our nation. First thing I want to talk to you about, that murder is socially unacceptable. Murder is socially unacceptable. And I want you to look at Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. It says, "Have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty." Pretty strong words from God, wouldn't you think? Pretty strong words. Murder in the form of abortion, which is murdering a child in its mother's womb. Infanticide, which is the murder of children, innocent children, outside the womb. Euthanasia, which is the murder of the aged and the helpless in society. A homicide is always putting to death the innocent. Putting to death the innocent. People have misconstrued the admonition of the Lord through the Ten Commandments when it says, "Thou shalt not kill." And people say, "Oh, well, that means that we're not supposed to go to war. We're not supposed to defend ourselves. We're not supposed to protect ourselves." And those who say that need to get an updated version of their King James Version Bible and start digging into what it means. It says, "Thou shalt not murder," which is the taking of innocent life. Our country, this nation, will prosecute you and put you in jail and possibly execute you for doing three out of the four things that I just mentioned. Abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, and homicide. But one of those things get a bye. Murder of a child in a womb. And our country allows that to take place every day in our nation. I'm telling you folks, it is wrong. It needs to stop. We need to pray it stop. We need to do whatever we can to stop it. You know, I can't help but think, and I guess it's very fresh to me, is those of you who know, my daughter adopted a little baby girl and was the first to hold her. Her mother decided that she couldn't care for her and put her up for adoption, and my daughter got to hold that little baby. And, you know, I had a little bit of mixed feelings about it. And my mixed feelings were, would I really love this child? I mean, she's not my child. She's not biologically connected to me in any way. Well, but when I walked in that hospital room up in Indiana, and Tiffany put that little girl in my arms, there was a connection. And when I looked at her little face, couldn't help but think of she could have ended up in an abortion chamber. Could have been that close to it if that mother had not decided to give her up for adoption. And mothers make the wrong choices every day, all day long in this nation. And they make those choices because they do not know, and no one's ever explained to them what it's all about. Someone was telling me this morning, was that you, Jack? Was telling me this morning about a woman who went into the abortion chamber. And tell me if I'm telling the story right. But she had the abortion, and she saw the aborted baby put in a plastic bag and thrown into a garbage can. And she is now suing the abortion chamber for the murder of her child. See, it was just a fetus. What in the heck is a fetus? Can't even spell it. Nobody cares about fetuses. Just throw them away. But you let a woman see a child, she'll not kill it. Unless she's so mentally deranged, like unfortunately we see with infanticide in our nation today. You let her see an ultrasound of that child in a womb, and I hope I'm correct, and if I'm incorrect, somebody can help me with this. But as I understand it, through the Crisis Pregnancy Center, when a woman does an ultrasound, there's almost 100% probability that she will not have an abortion when she sees a baby in a womb instead of a fetus. See, the problem is people don't know, and why I'm talking to you about it, so that you will know, so that you can tell others. It's time, if you can't do anything else, you need to learn to speak up. And when you're in casual conversation with people, and when you hear someone talking about a woman's right to choose, you need to be smart enough and know enough to say that that is murder of an unborn child, and then show them the proof of it. Just go get on the internet and just use Google, and just you can type it in and you can get all the information you want if you don't know anything. I'd encourage you to educate yourself about this particular subject. Any nation, yeah. Is there a video ready? Turn it on. We have a video. It's a good time to show it to you. Pretty moving, isn't it? Pretty moving to see that. Any nation that murders the defenseless is doomed. Any nation that murders the defenseless is doomed. Any nation that legalizes any one of those four things that I mentioned will eventually legalize all of them. If you think you're safe from the abortion chamber because your mother didn't abort you, there's another chamber on the horizon. It's called euthanasia. When you cease to be effective, Kathy, you know this, when you're in a nursing home where children bring their parents and walk away and never come back. Am I telling the truth? Happens every day. Because they can't think like they used to. And they can't take care of themselves like they used to. Because they can't control their bodily systems like they used to. Because they're too much trouble. They're not productive in society. And when the baby boomers, some of you are baby boomers, when you push that financial envelope that our government is throwing money away by the billions of dollars, and there's no money to take care of you, there will come rationale from the government of the United States to make sure that you gently go off into eternity. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. I hope you live long enough to prove me wrong. But I doubt that you will. Any nation that will murder the young in the womb will murder the old in the nursing home. And any nation that will do that will find a reason to kill a Down syndrome baby after it's born. Or one with some palsy or some dreaded disease. Some autism. They're unproductive and they're too expensive to keep around. They will find a way to murder those children. And any nation that does that is doomed. In ways to justify homicide. And every other kind of diabolical murder you could possibly ever think of. Listen to what it says in the book of Hosea. To prove my point. Hosea 4:3 says, there is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bonds. They break all bonds. And bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns. You see, it just doesn't stop with one thing. And society will make excuses and reasons to see to it that those who are unproductive and unwanted or murdered, and I'm telling you, it will be the end of this nation or any nation that does that. Many believe that there's no penalty for that. Oh, well, who cares? There is no God. There is no God. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just a psychological crutch that we all use to just get by and deal with the problems of life. There is no God. Just to change the tempo a little bit for you, I have something that someone sent me this week that I want to read. An attorney friend of mine sent me this. Some of you know him, Tom Thornhill. Atheist Holy Day. Florida court sets Atheist Holy Day. In Florida, an atheist created a case against the upcoming Easter and Passover Holy Days. He hired an attorney to bring a discrimination case against Christians and Jews and observances of their Holy Day. The argument was that it was unfair that an atheist had no such recognized days. The case was brought before a judge. After listening to the passionate presentation by the lawyer, the judge banged the gavel, declaring, case dismissed. The lawyer immediately stood up, objecting to the ruling, and said, Your Honor, how can you possibly dismiss this case? The Christians have Christmas, Easter, and others. The Jews have Passover, Yom Kippur, and Hanukkah. Yet my client and other atheists have no such holidays. The judge leaned forward in his chair, saying, But you do. Your client, counselor, is woefully ignorant, the lawyer said. Your Honor, we are unaware of any special observance or holiday for atheists. The judge said, the calendar says April Fool Day, April 1st, is your holiday. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Thus, it is an opinion of this court that if your client says there is no God, then he is a fool. Therefore, April 1st is your day. Case dismissed. That's a true story. Those who think they can do whatever they want to do and get away with it have a day of reckoning. And if you care about some people, you would be wise to tell them so they do not fall into this bottomless pit of ignorance about God. Laws reflect the heart of God. Our system in America, and the systems as I understand it around the world, designed to protect people are based on what we call the Ten Commandments. In Islam, if you steal, they cut off your hands. That's their law. Now, where did they get that from? Where did any nation in the world get the idea from about the protection of life and property and people? It's all based on what God placed in our hearts from the very beginning. You know, this is why when we talk about the law, people say, oh, well, you know, we live under the law and so forth. We were under the law from the very beginning. It was always in our hearts not to do these things. God gave us the Ten Commandments so there'd be no excuse for it. You couldn't say, oh, well, duh, I didn't know. He said, I chisel it in stone for you so that you would know. Laws are the very heart of God. Now listen to this. St. Thomas Aquinas, for you ex-Catholics, said this, laws that do not reflect God's heart are not laws at all. Now there's a powerful, poignant statement. And we see it exercised in the book of Acts. When men refused to obey laws that were contrary to the law of God and what God had said. When our nation creates a law that is contrary to the law of God, we have a Christian duty not to follow that law and to pay the consequences for it. Am I preaching rebellion? Oh no, I'm just preaching the Bible. Because we're not bound by that. We are bound by the laws of God that are placed in the heart of every man. There is no legal law that allows abortion. I don't care what the United States Supreme Court says or anyone else says. There is no law that allows that to happen. That is the worst breaking of the law of God. Murder. Blood cries out from the ground. And I'll tell you where the buck stops, the words, use Harry Truman's words, the buck stops here at the church with us. You see, you know more about abortion than 95% of the people on the street. They don't even know. You know why? Nobody ever told them. And they're not getting it on CNN and Fox and ABC and NBC, and they're not getting it in school. They're not getting it anywhere. The only hope the world has of getting the truth is from us. It's the only hope they got. And they're not going to watch TBN and all the Christian networks. They're not going to watch them. They're going to get the truth from your lips. You telling them the Word of God and what the Word of God says. And you don't have to be in your face. You just have to be in their hearts and speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. That is our responsibility. You know, we're so, and rightly so, energized by winning the loss. But sometimes you need to teach the loss so that you can win the loss. They need to hear the truth. Jim and I went to a conference this past week, a technology conference, and the guy said something very, very enlightening. He said that faith comes by hearing, not by reading, but by hearing. Hearing God's Word. People need to hear God's Word. How much of God's Word do you know? I'm so proud of Mike back there. Not because he's losing weight. Not because he's extended his fast beyond what a normal human being would ever do. But you know what Mike decided to do? He decided to memorize the Roman road. Mike's got it in his heart. Just to make sure, I made him recite it for me. Then he did. He can do it. Don't you have it, Mike? Mike doesn't need a Bible anymore. He can have a hammer in his hand because he knows the Word of God and he can tell anyone for all his sin that comes short of the glory of God. He's got that one down. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mike's got it down. Mike knows it. You ought to memorize some of these scriptures. so that you know them. Oh, well, Pastor, I just can't memorize. Oh, yes, you can. You know where you live, don't you? You know your telephone numbers, don't you? You know how to, you know what your wife and your husband and your children look like, don't you? That's memorization. You can do it. I'll give you a simple way to memorize Scripture. I didn't plan on telling you this. I don't know where this came from, but I guess you need to hear it. You can memorize 2 Scriptures a week. Not passages, just 2. Pick John 3:16, John 18. You memorize, you start on Monday, you memorize it, and then you rehearse it on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, you pick the second one you're going to memorize, and you memorize it, and then you rehearse what you learned on Monday. And then on Thursday, you rehearse what you learned on Wednesday, all right? And then you rehearse the one you learned on Monday. Then on Friday and Saturday, you rehearse what you learned on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you only got 2, and on Sunday you take the day off. And guess what happens the next Monday? You've learned and memorized 2 Scriptures. Start on an easy one. Jesus wept. Anybody here can remember that? Jesus wept. There's a whole passage, there's a whole message in there. But find pertinent Scriptures about this subject and other subjects and memorize them. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Is anybody here beside me? 2nd thing I want to talk about is that murder is physically unacceptable. I hate to put this on the CD, but excuse me for picking my pants up. But these pants don't have a belt on them, and I lost so much weight during the fast, I can't keep them up, and they keep wanting to fall down. So I don't want to lose my pants up here. Excuse me. All right. Take that out of the tape when you put it on the internet, would you, Jim? That was just for us. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. Remember I told you about lying? You know, not a murderer and a lying murderer. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Shirking responsibility. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." You know what that tells me? God sees every innocent blood that's ever shed. From Cain and Abel to in the womb. "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hands." There's no such thing as a victimless abortion. There's no such thing. Babies suffer before they die. He said, "Oh, well, no, they don't. Oh, well, I beg your pardon. They have pictures of it, of the abortionist tool going into the mother's womb and the baby recoiling from the pain. They have pictures of children with a silent scream heard only by God Himself as the abortionist does His work." And not a nice subject to talk about on Sunday morning, is it? And this is true. And when they're finished their diabolical work, not even in the dignity of a grave, but plastic bags and garbage cans and scientist tubes looking for some kind of secret and umbilical cords and all of the, what do they call that stuff? The stem cell research to try to find something. Listen, I'd rather die of cancer than have one child die to try to get some research done for me. I'd rather live in an old folks home and not even know my name than have one child die for research for me to find out. I'd rather live in a wheelchair all my life than have one child die so that I could walk. Where is the dignity of life? Where is the caring about that life? Forgive me for being so passionate about it, but you know, we need to be passionate about this. We need to take a hard, cold look at reality. I was going to get some film and show it to you this morning, but I really didn't want to look at it myself to bring it to you of some of the horrible things that take place in abortion chambers so you can see the real truth of it. I'd encourage you to go on the internet and look it up for yourself. See what happens in abortion chambers. And mothers suffer too. Don't believe all of that junk about women can have abortions and walk away from it unscathed. We had a living example here last week with Cindy Collins, who had multiple abortions, scraped her uterus and damaged it in such condition that she couldn't have any children. She has children today by a divine act of God because the doctors looked at her when they saw her womb and saw her uterus and said, "You will never have children." But they didn't know Cindy's God. And gave her a son, John, and then gave her twins just to show what he could do. Women suffer. There's a higher probability among women who have had an abortion that they will never be able to conceive and have children because of what's done to them through the abortion chambers. Physically unable to do it. They are emotionally scarred. Women do not get over it because deep inside, women know what they've done. And they can't get over it. Now, some of you listening on the CD or some of you right here in this room may have a secret that you don't want anybody to know about that you've had an abortion. And if you have, you're suffering with it to this day. The good news is that God forgives and God lets us go on. But that child is still gone. Many years ago, I had a Bible study in my home and we were having a really awesome night of worship. And I had a little sister who only lived for an hour or so when she was born. And she had been younger than I am. And I've always thought about that. I'm an only child. And I don't know what it's like to have a brother or a sister. And I've often thought about her. And while we were in a time of worship, I wasn't even thinking about this little girl. Her name is Ivy, by the way. My mother named her Ivy after her sister, who died at a young age when she was, I think, 7 years old. And I saw a little girl in a pretty party dress dancing all around. I just kind of, you know how you see things in your mind? I just kind of saw her dancing all around. And it was kind of unusual. I don't normally see dancing little girls. I mean, it's not something that I'm in the habit of thinking about. And when I did, the question came to my mind, you know, what is this all about? And the Lord spoke to me and said, "It's your little sister. She's safe with me." And I still got that image in my mind of my little baby sister who lived maybe just an hour, safe with God today. See, God knows and God cares and God takes all the aborted babies home. God hears them. God sees. And God takes care of it. And those who perform those things will pay the heavy price for it. Matthew chapter 2, verse 18. Listen to this. After Herod had all the babies murdered, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamenting and weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Could not be comforted. A woman who comes to the realization of what she's done through abortion will not be comforted unless God Himself comforts her. A child thrown away in an abortion chamber. And some say that men don't suffer. Those who encourage and pay for and are part of the abortion process. Those who bring women to abortion chambers, their girlfriends and their wives, and drop them off and go down the street to wherever they go, to a movie or to a store, and leave their precious babies to be murdered, don't get away scot-free. because they know too what they've done. Several years ago, someone who used to attend this church on a Wednesday night, and I don't even know how the subject came up, but it came up, and this guy broke down and cried and wept. Because when he was a young man, some 25 years earlier, he had impregnated a young girl. And he took her and had an abortion performed. And he couldn't get over it. And he never shared it with anyone in his whole life. And he shared it with us that night in this building. And he was released and healed. He couldn't be healed otherwise if God didn't do it. He had done it. And he was guilty. He still has the memory. But he's forgiven. He confessed it to God. The murder of the unborn tears at the very heart of God. We read earlier, their blood absolutely cries out. Society suffers from a curse that's planted upon it. Society suffers because it's unacceptable. Physically, it's unacceptable for everyone involved. Last thing I want to talk about this morning is that murder is morally unacceptable. It's morally unacceptable. Let's look at Psalm 139. We saw part of this in that video that we saw. I read this with your heart. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God is the creator of life. And he doesn't just start with an egg and a sperm and that's the end of it. But this tells us that he's involved in the process. Just like he's still involved in the process of our lives. And he formed us. You know, we get down on ourselves. Oh, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too white, I'm too black, I'm too, you know, all the things that we say. Why don't you have a talk with God about that? And he'd say, "Dern." Could God say "Dern"? He's probably the only one who can say it and really get away with it. I made you myself. You know, my own perfect creation. And there's not another like you who ever lived or who will ever live. You are unique. You are unique. And I love you. And I created you. That's God's plan. That's what God does. Interesting information I'm about to give you. Why are children aborted? This is from Planned Parenthood, the mother of the abortion chamber. This is what they said. 1% are victims of incest or rape. I have a little something I want to read you. Lisa was 16 when she was raped on her way home from school. When she found out she was pregnant, she was devastated, but said, "I had to have this baby. He was just as much a victim as I was, and I wasn't going to make him suffer." However, when the baby was born, she rejected him to start with because he resembled her attacker. "I couldn't look at him. I didn't want to hold him. I told them, take him away." Eventually, she came to love him and says, "It never ceases to amaze me that something so precious and wonderful came from something so terrible. He is my beautiful boy, and I wouldn't change the world or trade the world for him." A girl by the name of Pam Stretzel, who has a video that I hope to show to you one day. It's very direct about the subject of abortion and about promiscuity and adultery. And but I intend to show it to you. She said this, "My biological father was a rapist, but I am still a human being. I still have value. My life isn't worth any less than yours because of the way I was conceived. And I did not deserve the death penalty because of the crime of my father. It doesn't matter how I began. What matters is who I will become." This gal said, her mother gave her up for adoption. And she never has known her biological mother or her biological father. But she's looking forward to the day of seeing her mother one day in heaven. She said, "I believe that my mother is in heaven. I believe that because she saved my life. I believe that. I hope she's right." And she says, "I'm looking forward to seeing her one day in heaven." What a testimony. So much for the exceptions for abortion of incest and rape. "1% have fetal abnormalities. We're so smart now, we can do tests and we can tell whether or not this is a viable embryo and whether or not it should live. And if it's got some dreaded disease, you don't want to deal with that, Mama and Daddy. Let's just get rid of it." Have you ever known anybody who had a child who was deformed? What's that mother and daddy think of that child? They love them. Everyone I've ever talked to that had a deformed child said they never knew what love was until they had that child. Especially Down syndrome children who love so very much. Just because it's deformed doesn't mean it's not any good. Just because it's deformed doesn't mean that God's not involved in the process. Why would God create a deformed child? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But maybe it's just to let you know how precious life is, no matter what it looks like. No matter what you think about it. If you believe that deformed children should be aborted in the womb, let's go to the nursing home, Kathy. Let's get guns. Let's kill them all. Because they're worthless to society. They can't even feed themselves. They can't even go to the bathroom by themselves. Let's get rid of anything we don't like. There was somebody like that who lived, by the way. His name was Adolf Hitler. Yeah, right. And if you weren't an Aryan race, if you weren't one of the chosen ones, let's just get rid of them. And 6 million Jews died in the hands of that murderer. And Germany and the world turned away and let it happen. "4% had a doctor who said their health would worsen. If you continue this pregnancy, the woman's health would worsen. 4% to have an abortion. 50% said they didn't want to be a single parent. Should have thought about that in the backseat of a car or in a bed or in a hotel room or wherever you were. "66% stated that they could not afford a child. That's why I have a grandbaby by the name of Izzy. By the way, if you notice, if you're adding up the percentages, you'll notice there's more than 100% because some of them, as they took out these questionnaires, marked several answers to these questions. 75%, listen to this, 75% of abortions are done because they said the child would interfere with their lives. Children interfere with your life. Am I telling the right thing, huh, Brian? They interfere with your life. Does it interfere with your life, Rick? They have all those babies? They sure do. My daughter and son-in-law are dealing with that right now. That's why I don't have a wife. It's interfering with their lives. You were an interference with your own parents' lives. Those who raised you. Killing because it interferes with the quality of life is to play God. I want to have my sex and my joy. I want to have all the fun, but I don't want to have no babies. Anybody who gets pregnant today and doesn't want to have a child, with all of the birth control methods that exist in our world, is dumb and stupid. I don't normally mention the denominations. When I came up, when I was young, and I came up in the Catholic faith, and they didn't believe in birth control. They believed in practicing rhythm. Do you know what they call people who practice rhythm? Parents. Parents. Because there ain't no way you're figuring out that biological clock that these women got inside of them. And what God's plan is. God's not working on no clock. The argument is that we have a right to decide. We have a right to choose. Friend, you have a right to choose some things, but some things you don't have a right to choose about. And any society that lets you choose about those things is wrong. And it's dead wrong. And we've got, I don't know how many murdered babies today because our society said that a woman has a right to choose. I could really get upset about right now that a governmental system of supposedly intellectual people who spent their life studying the law would sit in the high places of the Supreme Court of the United States and not read the inscriptions around their own walls about life and people and values, and would sit up there and say, a woman has a right to choose, and because of Roe v. Wade, millions and millions and millions of countless millions of babies are on the abortion chamber garbage cans. I believe the scripture fits them is about hell enlarging itself to receive such people. I pray they get saved, but I pray before they get saved, they suffer hell right here on earth for what they've done. Now that's not very kind, but boy, that's the way I feel about it. When you open the door for abortion, you open the door for wholesale euthanasia and infanticide and any other thing that you don't like in society. We are the feel-good, want-to-have-it-our-way society. I don't want to do anything that's hard on me. That's why some of you have absolutely amazed me. Of all the things I've ever asked this church to do, I've asked you to fast and you've done it. That's the most difficult thing you can do. The rest of it's easy. Anything else you're asked to do in the church is easy compared to that. And yet you chose to do that. Because you chose to do that, then we're going through some fire right now and wondering what's going on. What you've done is you've won the victory and you've got the enemy upset and he is mad as all get out about what we've done. Because he knows that fasting and prayer will weaken him and cause his gates of hell not to be able to prevail against us. And that's what we're doing. I often think if I would just change the way that I preach in my messages, I probably could fill up the place. Listen, you're not walking out of here feeling good today. I hope you're walking out here awake. Amen. With the realization of this subject that's swept under the rug under the beautiful names of pro-choice. And a woman's right to choose. You shall not murder, and if you do, you will be judged. Some people in society didn't believe that. According to the jury, Vincent Marinello didn't believe that. Thought he could knock off his wife and get away with it. He's going to die an old man in jail because of what he did. The law says you can't do that and get away with it. How wonderful it would be if we went back to the old days where the law said, if you were born a baby, you suffer the consequences of murder. That's the way it used to be. How stupid can we be in this nation where it's okay for a woman to have an abortion, but if I run you over with my car and you happen to be pregnant and that baby dies, that is manslaughter if I'm drunk. Am I the only one that doesn't make any sense to? I mean, how stupid can you be? Thankful for what you can get, I guess. God sees children in the womb, and God judges a nation that murder the unborn. You might say, oh, well, Pastor, God is love and God cares and we're a grace church and we talk about grace all the time. Let me tell you what, don't misunderstand the message of grace. To think you can do whatever you want and get away with it. This is my opinion. And you know about my opinion when I give you my opinion. But it's based on some pretty strong study I've done. I believe a lot of what's going on wrong in America right now has got to do with this very subject. You might think it's oil. You might think it's the Arabs. You might think it's a terrorist. You may think all those things. You may think it's thieves on Wall Street. I happen to think, in my opinion, that what's going on in this place has got to do with what takes place in those places, the abortion chambers. You might have a different opinion. You're entitled to it, but that's what I think.
I have a granddaughter who's 10 or 4, and she's pregnant. They found that in court. She doesn't end that in court.
Yeah.
And they wanted her to have an abortion, but she had been pregnant that before. The man didn't even know she was pregnant.
Yeah. Amen. 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 And they did surgery on him before he was born. Isn't that correct? While he was still in the womb. Yeah. Oh, but that was just a fetus, wasn't it? Huh? Have you all seen the picture on the internet about the doctor who was doing surgery on the baby in the mother's womb and the little finger came out? And wrapped his hand around the doctor's finger? That's just a fetus. That's just useless. Let's just kill it and get rid of it. We don't need it. It interferes with life. I have a right to choose. Beloved, we need to be serious about this subject. We need to pray about it earnestly. Ask God if God would have us to do anything. I think the best thing we can do is to tell others what we know. Get this CD. I'll print and pay for as many of the CDs that I preach today as you want. You can give them out to everybody you want. As many as you want. We can print an infinite number of these things and produce them that you can give to people about this subject. And anybody's got a question, and if you can't answer the question, just come and see me. And if I can't answer the question, we'll go see Cindy. If Cindy can't answer the question, we'll go find somebody else. But the answers are not that difficult. They're just right here in a good old book. Amen?
Amen?
Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Yeah, there it is. Can you see it? See the baby's hand right here wrapped around the doctor's finger? Isn't that incredible? Wow. It's just a fetus, Jim. You know, it can't feel, it can't think, it can't move, except that it can decide whether it wants to suck the right thumb or the left thumb. That its little heart is beating. It's making decisions.
I said, most people don't know that our tax dollars pay for those abortions.
Oh.
People are to wake up and realize that if enough of them were supported, I think they would stop.
Liz, don't get me mad. But since you brought it up, I was going to say this and I forgot about it, but let me bring it up to you. You see this bailout that the government's spending your money on? Let me tell you a little bit about it. $80 billion with a B dollars is going to Planned Parenthood, whose founder founded Planned Parenthood on the premise of, excuse me for what I'm about to say, to eliminate the unwanted segment of society, in particular the blacks. That's what it was formed for. You know it. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, that's historical fact. They're going to give $80 billion to Planned Parenthood. I heard this with my own ears. Nancy Pelosi, you know who she is, she's a Speaker of the House, on an interview was asked about that, and this is her response. This is not somebody else telling me. I heard it with my own ears. I've got a rewind button on my television. I rewound it to make sure I got it right. She said, well, we need that money because the most expensive part of medical care in our society is children. And if we can control the number of children, we can control medical costs in our nation. Nancy Pelosi, the third most powerful person, two heartbeats away from the presidency, made that statement. I heard it with my own two little ears and my new hearing aids. And she has five kids. God help those kids. With a mother like that. It's getting worse every day, friends. The only hope we got is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank God for the song you sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Oh God, my Savior. We're trusting in the Lord. Believing in Him. Being serious about what we've been called to do. This is our battle, our fight. We are fully equipped to do whatever we need to do. Amen?
Amen?
Be of good cheer. Now, next week, I hope to preach something a little different. I'm going to talk about, since it's Valentine's Day, will be Saturday, I'm going to preach on something about love. Some of you need to hear something about love, all right? You need to fall back in love with each other. George, you and Gail really need to fall in love because you're going to be home all the time now. It's a new world, honey, when husbands come home, you know, and break up. Because I've seen what I did to my poor wife's little happy home when I showed up full time. So I'll be doing that. And then after that, God willing, and it's just really something that's on my mind. I don't do a whole lot about it, but I want to do some end time preaching for you. I think there's some things that we need to know, okay? So I intend to do some of that. My version of the end time may not be some of the stuff you've heard. Some of the stuff you heard comes from too much pizza. All right? I hope to give you the biblical view of the end times, okay? So we'll hopefully we'll start that in 2 weeks. With that said and done, hallelujah. Freddie, why don't you dismiss us in prayer, okay?